الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير. وقال تعالى وإن خفتم شقاق بينهما فبعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها إن يريدا إصلاحا يوفق الله بينهما إن الله كان عليما خبيرا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث جدهن جد وهزلهن جد النكاح والطلاق والرجعة. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to this world for a test. Part of the test is to fulfill the right of iman, to fulfill one's iman. And part of that is nikah and marriage. When a man makes nikah, when a man marries, then as narrated in the hadith, it completes half of his iman. Today the Muslim ummah is facing a dilemma across the board. Many of us are present at the time of nikah and witness the happy occasion of nikah. When the nikah is contracted in the masjid in the presence of the imam, it is indeed a happy occasion. But of those nikahs, there are many, or there is an amount or number that unfortunately fails and unfortunately terminates. This is the harsh reality. And this number is increasing on a daily basis. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as an example for us. He lived like us. He married like us. He had children like us. He was a human like us. But throughout his lifestyle, he presented or he portrayed an excellent example for the ummah to come till Qiyamah. How does one deal with one's wife? How does one deal with one's family? How does one deal with a dispute that arises between husband and wife? All of it is present in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the time we are born till the time we leave this world, we have examples, we have commandments, we have rules and regulations to fulfill. And that is all to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith that there are three things, whether they are done in seriousness or jest, they are valid. The first is nikah. An-nikah. When a nikah is contracted, what does a nikah entail? An offer and acceptance between the spouses in the presence of witnesses. That is nikah, simple. Whether it is done in seriousness or jest, it is valid. So whether it is done in a rehearsal, whether it is done as a play, if the conditions of nikah are found, that nikah is valid. These are serious matters. And the second is talaq. Talaq, whether it is done in seriousness or jest, it is valid. Many a times a person, when he issues a talaq, he does it in anger. And most of the time he does it when he is serious about it. No one does it out of jest. And playing around. No one does it in that way. So talaq is a serious matter. Now when a person marries and makes nikah, no one marries to get divorced. No one marries to separate from the husband or wife. Even the Sharia indicates that a marriage should be permanent. A marriage shouldn't be something where husband and wife separate. That's not the purpose of marriage. So why half the iman is being fulfilled? Because the husband is then protecting the chastity of the wife is protecting the chastity of the husband. They both help and assist one another in reaching the goal, and that is earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, half of one's iman. But there are instances where a person is either not compatible, they cannot get along with one another for whatever valid reason, and then they separate. So people take lessons, people read books on nikah before they get married. But unfortunately, when it comes to the laws of talaq, many of us are uneducated. And only when the talaq is issued, that is the time our eyes open, and then we want to study the laws of talaq. But then it's too late. We need to, as an ummah, we need to educate ourselves of everything relevant to us. It's necessary. We must educate ourselves. We don't get married to get divorced. But we need to know the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tilka hududullah. They are boundaries of Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. If we exceed these boundaries, we have oppressed ourselves. And of course, when we oppress ourselves, what does it mean? We would then earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've exceeded. And then nothing would work out for us. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it came to divorce, we look at many ahadith. He said, لا تطلق النساء إلا من ريبة فإن الله تعالى لا يحب الذواقين ولا الذواقات. That do not issue talaq to your woman. Do not issue talaq to woman. Unless there's a reason for it, unless there's grounds for it, unless it's discussed, so on and so forth, it's a different matter. Mere suspicion, mere doubt, do not issue talaq. That's the guidance of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because marriage is not meant for husband and wife to marry for the sake of fulfilling their pleasures only. That's not the purpose of marriage. It's one of the objectives, yes. But not the overall purpose of marriage. Allah does not love those people who do this. And we look in another hadith of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الطَّلَاقِ. The most detested, permissible, halal act in the eyes of Allah is what? Is talaq. It's not prohibited totally. Like in some religions, when a man marries, then the concept is, till death do us apart. In some cultures. This is not the culture of Islam. Islam provides you the option of marriage at the same time when there are grounds for husband and wife to separate due to differences between them. They cannot reconcile on it. That's a different matter. So Islam and Sharia has provided the strategy, the exit strategy and mechanism. But there is a procedure and a process in place. And unfortunately, before it reaches the level of talaq, the stage of talaq, we have not followed any process, we have not followed any guidelines of the Sharia, and therefore we are in a dilemma. Husband and wife yearn for each other for the rest of their lives, and they cannot reconcile, they cannot patch up, they cannot come back together. So the Sharia has given us guidelines. Yes, maintain a happy home, maintain a happy family. But then there's a process when dispute arises between spouses. On one occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited his daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha. And her husband, Ali radiallahu anhu, was a cousin, was not there, was not at home. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, where is Ali radiallahu anhu? So she said that we had a dispute, we had a fallout. He left the house and he did not take his nap here today. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for him, found out that he was in the masjid, he was resting in the masjid. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the masjid, saw him lying down, he had dust on his body, part of his body was open. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up to him, dusted the dust off, and said, Qum ya Aba Turab, Qum ya Aba Turab. Wake up, O dusty one. The lesson we learn from this is, dispute took place. He left the house, he went away. The dispute was contained. The dispute was contained between husband and wife until Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about it, until he inquired about it. And it was necessary to explain, so then it was explained. So the first lesson we learn, when there is a dispute between spouses, try and contain it between yourselves as far and as much as possible. That's the first level. Try and reconcile. Try and reconcile. And it is the best option. You've got to give and take. It's not a one-way road. If a man wants his way, the wife also, she wants her way. You need to reach a level of reconciliation. And unfortunately, due to trivial matters and trivial issues, we hear talaq over and over again. The wife did not put sugar in the tea of the husband. The husband issues talaq. Trivial matters, and the bond of nikah is terminated. Terminated. So contain it between yourselves. Thereafter, what does the Quran Kareem guide us on? What does it state? Then listen here, if you cannot reconcile between yourselves, then of course you need outside help, you need a third party to get involved, to put things right, to reach a resolution. And therefore the Quran Kareem states, وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. If a woman, she fears cruelty from her husband, she fears some sort of abuse from her husband, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. Reach a decision amongst yourselves, reach a reconciliation. وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. And this is the best thing to do. Resolve it amongst yourself. Otherwise, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Otherwise, the wife appoints a mediator or an arbitrator. The husband does the same. And both of them sit on the table with the differences, with the disputes, and try and reach a resolution. And of course, the people that are appointed should be responsible people. People that have concern for the marriage, not people who are one-sided, not people who are only interested in one party. Both parties should be interested in reconciling the marriage. إِيُّرِيدَ إِسْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. The Quran Kareem states that if their intention is pure, if their intention is to reconcile, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide a solution for them. يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. And then even if that cannot happen, what does the Quran guide us on? فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Either keep her, treat her well, or release her in a good manner, in a dignified manner. The Mufassirun explain, what does dignified manner mean? It means that the man should not be vile, he should not be cruel. Rumors should not start going around, he should not taint the dignity of that woman, and she should not taint the dignity of the man. That is the explanation of it. Now, as we're discussing, these are the processes in place before we even talk and reach the level of talaq. And then when he issues the talaq, and when he issues the divorce, what the Quran Kareem states, of course, keeping these guidelines in mind, these processes in mind, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ. If they have to separate, they have to go their own ways, يُغْنِ اللَّهُ. Allah gives guarantee here. Allah will provide for both of them, not one person, Allah will provide for both of them sustenance. He will provide. Why? Because if you look at this whole process, it involves taqwa, fearing Allah, following the guidelines of the Shariat. You followed the guidelines of the Sharia before you reached this stage. You made istikhara, you made mashwara, and then you issued the talaq and you issued the divorce. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you. Whether it is through another marriage, whether it is through other means of sustenance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide. Unfortunately, today we see the word of talaq being thrown around and being played with. Just like it takes a few words to contract a nikah, it also takes a few words to terminate the nikah. The ones that are present at the nikah, we find that they are very eager people at the time of nikah, signing the nikah book and want to be the witnesses to the nikah. Happy occasion. Those same witnesses should be present when a talaq takes place. They were present to put that marriage together. They should also be present to patch that marriage up. A lot of the times these disputes take place. You need to gauge from a distance. Is it suitable for me to get involved? Should I get involved? Who should get involved? These things should take place to protect the dignity of the woman, to protect the dignity of the man and the family. Otherwise, what happens? Things hit the roof, and then rumors spread, and then it becomes difficult for the man now to get married to anyone else in future, and the woman to get married to anyone else in future, because now it's tainted. But if this process was followed, and then the divorce took place, then Allah will provide for them. The dignity is protected. No one loses. The husband marries, the wife marries, she carries on in her life. Of course, as we said, marriage, no one gets married to issue talaq, no one gets married to issue the divorce. But the process needs to be followed, the process needs to be adhered to. And then when it comes to the point of talaq, an entire surah, an entire chapter has been revealed regarding talaq. And the first person, this law of talaq to be directed to is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now understand the weight of it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being told of talaq. When it applies to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how much more it applies to us? يا أيها النبي إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن وأحصوا العدة. O Nabi of Allah, when you intend issuing talaq, then issue talaq at its prescribed times. There is a prescribed process, prescribed time for the issuance of talaq. So when he's issuing the talaq as well, as understood from this surah and this chapter as well, the issuance of talaq as we are taught by our Sharia is one talaq. The issuance of talaq is one talaq. We are not encouraging talaq. We are not advising talaq. We are saying that when it reaches that level, there is no need for a second talaq. There is no need for a third talaq. One talaq terminates the marriage. Unfortunately, today we hear more three talaqs, then one and two talaqs. Every talaq case that comes forward is almost, or most of the time, is a three talaq case. Where have we learned to play with the words of talaq in this way? One talaq terminates the marriage. And when that one talaq is issued, we should follow these two guidelines. One is, it should be issued when a woman is not menstruating. And the second is, it should be issued in a pure state, of course, as we mentioned, and in a state where conjugal relations had not taken place. This is the guidelines of the Shariat. Whether the man issued it when the woman was menstruating, or whether conjugal relations took place, the effect of it, there's no dispute about it. Here we're talking about guidelines. So one talaq is issued in a pure state in which conjugal relations did not take place. Why? Open the Quran, open the tafsir, and try and understand. Once the talaq is issued, a woman has to now observe an iddah period. She has to observe the iddah period. The ulama explain why she observes this iddah period. Two reasons, two explanations. One is, for husband and wife to ponder on the decision made between them. Why the talaq was issued? Who was at fault? How could I have saved the marriage? And these, that waiting period that she has to wait for, husband and wife think about it so that they may reconcile or consider to reconcile. And the other is, so that the waiting period is there, and there is no confusion of lineage. In other words, when she is in iddah, she cannot marry. She cannot marry simply because if she marries and then she falls pregnant, then there could be a confusion of lineage between the two of them. These are the explanations given. And this is a law directly mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. So once the talaq is issued, she will observe an iddah period, 3 menstrual cycles if she is a menstruating woman, 3 months if she is not a menstruating woman. If she is pregnant, then until she conceives. So if a man issued it when she is menstruating, then instead of it being 3 menstrual cycles, it lengthens the period for up to about 4 menstrual cycles, because now she has to still sit in the period. And if she was pregnant, then of course it lengthens it right up till birth. So it makes it difficult for the woman, it harms the woman in this way. So these are the guidelines mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. On one occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of a man who had issued 3 talaq simultaneously. He got angry, he stood up, and he said, أَيَلَعَبُ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ أَيَلَعَبُ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِكُمْ. How dare you play with the book of Allah? How dare you play with the laws of talaq when I am present amongst you? No dispute of the effectiveness of it or validity of it. But this is, by consensus of the Ummah, prohibited to issue 3 talaq simultaneously. Not only does it attract the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it shakes the arsh and the throne of Allah. And then, who suffers at the end? Both couples suffer at the end. 5 years later, 10 years later, they are not married, they're still not married, and then they wish to reconcile. Difficult for them to reconcile. They cannot be together. The marriage has terminated. So, when it comes to nikah, when it comes to talaq, we need to be serious about it. Shaitan sits on the water. He sends for his troops. The ones closest to him are those that create fitna. One would say, I have done this and this. He says, you have done nothing. But then the one that says, I was with a couple, with these people, right till they separated, husband and wife, Shaitan congratulates him. Iblis congratulates him and says, you know what, you have done well. Why? Because once this family unit is separated, what happens? The wife is left open to abuse. There's no father figure at home. There's no parenting at home. And then the Shaitan uses this as an opportunity to lead them astray. Once the family unit is separated, it separates families, and then it separates communities. That is why this is a serious matter. We need to educate ourselves on talaq. We need to educate ourselves regarding the laws of iddah, the importance of it. These are specific laws mentioned in the Quran. You would find laws of business, transactions, loans, repayments, etc. Broad principles mentioned in the Quran, bylaws mentioned elsewhere. Nikah, talaq, these are mentioned in the Quran, broad principles and bylaws. We would find the bylaws of it mentioned in the Quran. Who one can get married to, who one cannot get married to. The mahar, the dowry given at the time of nikah. Laws of talaq, laws of iddah. These are detailed laws and intricate laws. This is not the place to discuss those intricate laws. But we need to create that awareness amongst ourselves first, as husbands, as fathers, and then educate our families. Not so that they issue talaq, so that they avoid the talaq. So that they avoid the talaq and make a good home. Inshallah, if we follow this procedure, as mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, then it would avoid many issues, it would avoid many problems, and it would protect the identity of our mothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to grasp the wisdom of the Quran al-Kareem, to grasp the wisdom as shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.